What is up, y'all? It is your girl, Scardi B, and you are back with Sugar. We're going in the only podcast about Fall Out Boy and hip hop. Today, I have a guest that has been inundating my Instagram feed, my TikTok feed, and I couldn't be happier. You have 100% seen some of his skits, some of his band skits. I mean, this guy has a lot to offer, is funny and so fucking talented. Please, please, please help me welcome Brandon from Kawaii AF, live from NOLA. What is up?
What is good, Scardi B?
All is well. I'm here in Philly. It's literally snowing outside. What's weather like down there?
So we got hit with a freeze. I have not been outside because they said freeze, and I'm like, all right, cool. I'm just gonna be in here then. That's all good to me. I don't got work today. I don't got nowhere to be.
No, identical. We're doing the same. Well, tell me a little bit about yourself, how you would describe yourself, and what do you do?
Well, what's up, y'all? My name's Brandon Cunningham. I am the lead singer of Kawaii As Fuck, the cutest band to ever exist, or Kawaii AF if the parents are listening. Yep. I'm the lead singer of my band. I'm the founder. I'm the brainchild. I run the social media. If I'm commenting, or if you see, like, Kawaii AF official commenting, like, on something, it is probably me. The other members just chill. They're awesome soldiers, but they're like, hey, Brandon, you can talk to the people. And I'm like, hey, that's cool, because I live on the internet. So my phone's always on me. I'm always replying. It's me. I do all the stuff.
I mean, I can tell how on the internet you are. I mean, even your content down to what you talk about in your content is so fan specific. Like, and not even just about Fall Out Boy, because the Fall Out Boy ones really got me like hook, line, sinker. Like, you really, really get it. But even like the My Chemical Romance ones where like Gerard's like pointing to his like dead tooth, I was like, you have to be so deeply and have watched these live videos and interviews to like know these facts. Where does your fandom come from? How does your fandom help you create this content and help you create the music that you create?
Well, it's funny because I've always like had these bands like around me, but as a millennial boy, all the bandom stuff when I was a teenager, I hated that. I was like, ew, that's what girls like. Like, I just like the music, man. But as far as getting into the fandom stuff, that happened like later in life. That happened in my 20s. And that's like from the emo resurgence that happened on like TikTok and on Instagram and stuff. And also like deep dives, like leading me like to like old interviews and all this stuff. I don't even know how it happened, because I went from knowing almost nothing besides the music to like now I'm like, it's like I've always been there. So it's almost hard for me to talk about when I wasn't now. Like, I know when I wasn't, but how it came to this all-knowing thing, that's been a journey from like probably age 20.
So we got a good amount of time on the interwebs picking up all these facts. Tell us what have been some of your favorite sketches and skits to put together, and why? Because I mean, you go all the way in. Like, you really got me with the using the friends or enemies at the top of the video. I was like, if you know, like I got like war flashbacks. I got war flashbacks, and I was like, y'all don't understand. Like, please tell us about your favorite skits. I know I have mine, but I want to hear about which ones have been your favorite to film.
Oh man, great question. Love answering this. So my favorite skits are the ones that you've been seeing for the past like month or two, because those are re-uploads from years ago. We started TikTok back in like 2019, when like no one gave a shit about TikTok, especially bands, especially emo bands. Which is funny to think about now, because look what happened. But we'll get to that. But my favorite skits are the band ones. Like, at a time they were called bands through the years. So, like, the Pete Wentz song title one is, like, my top favorite. of what it exploded, but yeah, no, oh my god, the MCR through the years one, like where I go through all the albums up to like when they broke up, that was always like one of my favorite things that we ever did, but it didn't get a lot of love years ago. So this whole re-upload of the old videos that I'm bringing on to Instagram Reels, but also re-uploading to TikTok, that's been really fun because those videos is what made us build our, like, core fan base, the people who are, like rocking with us since, like, 2019, 2020, 2021, like, COVID time. We've been able to grow a whole new fan base through just shooting these videos, like, again, and they've, like, been given new life, and it's been so exciting to see. Because it really is like I'm reliving like 2019 like again, because these new kids are seeing these for the first time, and the kids who are now in college who grew up with us, that's crazy to say they grew up with us, but the kids who grew up with us are like seeing it again, and like they're getting memories back and all this stuff. But I have a lot of favorite videos of ours, but yeah, the band ones and the non-band ones, all the Hot Topic ones, Yo, so that one's super cool because that's brand new in terms of like the lore of Kwai AF, and that was our like return video because we took a break from skits because I had major creative what's it called, a burnout. Yeah, I was all out of ideas. And I was like, all right, y'all, I don't know what to do anymore, so let's promote our music only, because that's what a lot of our, like, peers been doing. They've just been, you know, doing the walking around and the lyrics of the song, like, play, like, somewhere. Like, so, okay, let's try that. And those were doing, but I was like, all right, okay. We gotta find a way to do memes again. We gotta find a way to do the memes again. I think the first one that I re-uploaded was the Pete Wentz one. But the belt one, that was the first original skit that we've done in a very long time. And it was so exciting to see it, like, do what it did. Like, that exploded. I did not expect that. Like, when creators say you don't know what's gonna blow up, that's for real.
Can you tell me about the first time you heard Fall Out Boy and then kind of your experience growing up?
Oh, I got you on that. I will never forget the first day that I got into Fall Out Boy. It was me and my best friend VC, and I was in eighth grade. We were singing Nightmare Before Christmas on the bus home from school, and he was going to hang out over at my house. And okay, we just spent the whole bus ride singing every song in Nightmare. Now we're gonna go on YouTube and do the same thing, but like listen to the songs from Nightmare. And so we're searching up, you know, on YouTube, primitive YouTube, and then we get hit with a what's this? Fall Out Boy. Now,
so your first Fall Out Boy song was the What's This, yes, cover from Nightmare Before Christmas. Somewhere Patrick is so happy. Because he loves to let his, like, Danny Elfman freak flag fly. So he was, like, perfect representation. Exactly what you need to get into. So fucking funny.
And I knew nothing of Fall Out Boy minus what the cool kids were saying about them, which were all mean. And
I was going to say that they're saying that they're fucking...
Yeah. And I'm just, like, fitting in, knowing nothing. Cause I don't watch MTV at this point because I...
You're like, yeah, fuck that dude. I was like,
yeah, yeah, ha-ha, please accept me. And so I'm like, huh, what's this Fall Out Boy? Well, let's give it a shot, I say. And we press play, video ends, and I'm like, yo, that was crazy. And VC's like, yeah, dude, that was nuts. And I'm like, but that was the cover, though. You know, that's not really them. So, like, they probably got lucky. All right. What else we got? And right on the side of it suggested was the Carpal Tunnel of Love music video. And I was like,
with Happy Tree Friends
Stardy, yes. And that played, and it was everything that edgy, like, 13, 14-year-old me needed, because I was in the blood and gore phase. I was like watching Final Destination Deaths cued to Papa Roach like videos and stuff. Invader Zim, obviously. So, like, I was getting into horror movies. So, Happy Tree Friends already. Also, that was my introduction to them. I had no idea what that was. And I thought, I had zero clue what it was, but it was cute animals being killed in Final Destination ways. Plus, this insane song. I'll never forget what that riff did to me. The I'm like,
oh no,
yeah,
same here. I was like,
what is
happening?
This?
That song is so special. And I remember they played it during Honda Civic Tour when I first saw them, and they haven't had it on the set since. And I went to 8 Fall Out Boy shows last year, and I was like, oh, we're gonna get Carpal Tunnel. Nothing. And I'm like, you have to provide this year.
That's insane. I had no idea. They haven't played Carpal since the... No, dog. Because...
Like, probably after that, but, like, the last time I heard it live, I think, has to be around then. Like, I can't even tell you. But then I got to...
That's insane. Because, like, if you were to ask me, like, years ago, what's my favorite Fall Out Boy song, it would be the Carpal Tunnel of Love. It's changed since then, but, like...
Ooh.
But back... Right now,
okay,
right now, this has been my answer for years. But, like, the easy one for me is It's Hard to Say I Do When I Don't. That.
So you're Infinity on High, baby.
Well, my favorite album is Take It to Your Grave.
Okay. I was going to say, I was like, please. There are 2 to 3 right answers for this. Actually, 4 now with the new album. But... Of course, what is so special about Take This to Your Grave? You hear Baby Patrick.
You hear Baby Patrick and the most just angst-ridden, angry lyrics about heartbreak that you ever get. Now, they get, like, hella criticism because, you know, like, in hindsight, hey, that's kind of misogynistic. But also, that's just... That's just what being a teenage boy is. It was
the punk equivalent of, like, a hip-hop, these bitches ain't shit song.
Yes. Exactly. Like, oh my God, just the rawness of it. Like, even if you don't, like, you know, agree with, you know, like, the level that it goes on, but that's what we go to emo for.
So I love that that's your favorite song, because your single Fur Kawaii as Fuck lives in that Infinity on High world. It mixes it with a little bit of From Under the Cork Tree and lyrical stuff, as well as, like, the title. But, like, tell us more, and I'm about to say the title. I'm not wearing black because someone died, but something inside of me has. In parentheses, if you wanted me in a coffin, you should have said so earlier. I mean, Pete Wentz is somewhere shaking, crying, throwing up. He's like, why wasn't it me? He's like punching the air. I know he's angry. Tell me about this single. Tell me about how it came to be and why it is so delectably Fall Out Boy.
That song title was from an old Facebook post of mine where I listed like 13 like fake emo song titles, and it's like, here's some fake emo song titles that don't exist. Enjoy. Oh, wait a minute. Hold up. If you give me some time, I can find this again. Hold up. I got you. Fantastic. Hold up. All right. Facebook. Da-da-da-da-da-da. All right. Me. All right. Let's see. Emo song titles. Blam. Let's see. Ah, okay. Brandon Cunningham, July 17th, 2018. You know what? I'm feeling generous. Mm-hmm. Here's some free made-up 2005 to 2008 emo song titles. Beggars can't be choosers, no. Yet I'm taking my sweet time. There's a place in hell for people like us, so save me a spot, will you?
That's fucking
crazy. For a honeymoon, you sure look devastated. Well, that's one way to ruin an evening. With a mouth like that, you could have been a star. You're giving Paris Hilton a run for her money. Side would just be insulting. First, this was cute. Now it's getting embarrassing. Parentheses, slow down, love. It's a desperate endeavor you can dance to. Parentheses, I'll lead, you leave. Yeah. Let's see. With all the hearts you draw, you think you'd know what real love is. Parentheses, a gal can dream. And this is the last of this post was she'll blush and blame it on the temperature. And now remembering that I wrote our song title on the board at work because I made it a game of guess the real emo song title. And I'm not wearing black because somebody died, blah 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 blah. You know the words. That was on the board. At first, the story of the song is a little easier to explain. So, it was just a skit. It was simply a meme, a joke, a hee ha ha ha. Isn't this funny? Let's all laugh together. And then the comments came, and they were like, "Yo, but why does that go hard though?" And yo, I'd listen to this. And we've experienced this before. Because that's what made our first ever dropped single, 2007, called They Want Their Jeans Back, to blow up all the way back in 2019. Thank you. And 2007 called that spawned from a meme. Sorry, that is, early TikTok. I'm just getting the feel for it. KwaiF don't even have a TikTok yet. It's on my personal TikTok, Kid Cuisine, and I'm just scrolling through. It's 3 a.m., and I see a video by this fellow named Simon Trepp, and the skit goes, it's like him pretending to be at a band practice in 2007, and he said, so guys, I'm thinking the song could go like, "Jer, I need you. Jer, I want you. Jer, I adore you." Write it down. I laughed so hard. I was like, "Ah, that's how I write songs." And so I sent it to the group chat. "Hey guys, look, that's how we write songs. Ha ha ha." No one thought of 3 a.m. but yeah, exactly. But then I go back to the video. I'm watching it over and over again. I go in a comment section, and he is being flooded with comments of, "Wait, but why is that something I would listen to back then?" Or, "Yo, if this is a real song, this would be bumping. I'd bump it all the time." And this is like at the hundreds, like hundreds of comments are all saying that. And then out of curiosity, I go to his TikTok, like his profile, and I notice he's not an artist. He is not a musician. He is just a kid making jokes online. And then it hit me. No one's gonna make this song. He's not gonna make this song. But we can, cause we're a real emo band. And I'm telling my bandmates the game plan. "Hey guys, let's stop working on our album and let's make this song from this meme on TikTok, but we have to do it now because TikTok goes fast." And they're like, "Why would we do that?" And I say, "Because we're gonna be the Lil Nas X of emo." And they're like, "What does that mean?" I'm like, there's no time to explain.
Your personality, your passion, how fucking funny you are. Like TikTok and Reels and Instagram was like made for a place, an artist like you, not just a content creator, an artist who like cares so deeply And what I think a lot of people need to remember is that sometimes the art isn't the song that comes out, right? Sometimes the art is what did you do and collaborate with to make it happen. Shout out to Waffle for really seeing in you what everybody fucking sees in you. Like, you are very successful and funny and kind and talented, and this is gonna continue to go so, so fucking far for you.
Big shout out to Waffle. He has been my best friend since ninth grade. He is what you said. He has continuously, like, just supported me more than anybody. And thank you, Scardy, so much for all those super duper kind words. I'm all warm and fuzzy inside.
And really, why I connected with you so much, A, the content is flawless, but B, like, you're Black, you're a person of color, and, like, especially with this show and especially in the scene, like, we have to be more intentional with holding space for each other. And that's what I think is so important about you making this content, about, like, Kawaii as Fuck being what it is. Can you talk to me about your experience in being a person of color in this scene and kind of how you found your voice through that?
Absolutely. So, like I said previously, all the fandom stuff came late, and so did the lifestyle. The lifestyle came late. I'm not gonna... This can be super complex, and I know we don't got that time. But in my heart, I knew I was emo, but I discarded it for years. I always liked, you know, like, after I got into Fall Out Boy, always liked Fall Out Boy, always liked Panic at the Disco ever since it came on the radio, and I've always loved pop punk, since like freaking like playing Dave Mirra freestyle BMX2, hitting Sum 41 for the first time, Malcolm in the Middle. I mean, I heard, okay, oh, there it is, there's the answer. Okay, I got into music, like pop punk and emo and all that stuff, because of movies, TV shows, video games, and sometimes the radio and recommendations from friends, because I was not allowed to watch MTV until I was, like, you know, of age, I guess. Like I was allowed to watch it by the time that I was in, like, eighth grade, but it was too
all,
late.
All, like, immigrant kids and, like, kids of people of color, like, yep.
It was too late.
Some of us weren't allowed Harry Potter. Like, if I walked out of my house before I was, like, 18 with skulls on, my mother would actually actively be praying over me. Like, I totally understand what the having to live the lifestyle covertly means.
Yes.
Like, clandestine to me meant a whole lot different thing, where it's like, I have to be low. I have to be low about being emo. Because it's also survival. Like, survival when you're in a city. Like, I grew up in Elizabeth, and that's, like, a really tough city. And it's like, if you were emo, you were bullied. You were picked on. And it's like, I had to kind of be fucking tough, bro.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Scardy. One, you gave me some kind words. I'm about to throw you some mega kind words. Scarlett, listen. I became a huge fan of this beautiful, wonderful podcast, this amazing foundation, this amazing creation that you've built after, you know, like, finding your comment in one of our videos and like, oh, you know what? Let me do some research on this podcast that I'm going to be on. And I became a fan. This has been, like, I binged this in, like, a week. Every time I went out driving, it was this podcast. Because it is
so amazing.
Good. It's so good. Oh, my God. Your insight, your questions to the guests, the information that you just be pulling out. I don't know where you get the interviews you get, because you can't find them. You can't find these interviews you're talking about that you cite. You can't I don't know where you found them, you magician.
Pete Wentz taught me how to use the internet. I fully learned how to be a lurker and find anything on the internet, and I give all the credit to Pete Wentz. But I feel like, as a fan, I'm constantly learning, but, like, this is my special interest. Like, this is how I get to info dump, and this is my love language for sure. Like, I will connect everything back to Fall Out Boy. Everything will always go back to it, but it's because it's so deserving. Like, last year I kicked off the podcast because we were celebrating the 50 years of hip hop, and I'm a huge hip hop fan. Like, the way that you found, like, rock and emo through Malcolm in the Middle, like, I found, like, the music I listen to now, like Parliament Funkadelic and everything in between from the Bernie Mac
show.
So like yeah. Rest in peace, Big B.
Shout out
like,
the Mac.
Sweet, sweet king. But like Bernie Mac show was the only show that had like Stevie Wonder, Parliament Funkadelic, like India Irie, like all these people that like then led me into like Lauryn Hill and The Roots and everything in between. And it's like there are so many connections. And Brendan, I'm about to blow your mind when I get to 2008 to 2011-ish. We're 6 months into this podcast. I thought I'd be done by May. I am 6 months into this podcast and I'm only starting 2008. Like, that's crazy because of so much that we have to talk about. Crazy. And you're going to learn a ton about Patrick's relationship with The Roots. And there's a Cobra Starship song that it actually started out as a song that ended up being a song for The Roots, which is crazy. I'm going to send you personally the links to these two interviews that they did because, again, they're, like, nowhere to be found, but they're, like, specific interviews on, like, them and hip-hop, and you're going to shit your pants. It's crazy.
I'm so excited. Now, starting. This whole podcast is about how the hip-hop is completely a part of Fall Out Boy and Fall Out Boy completely part of hip-hop. Let me tell you how hip-hop is a part of Brandon and my journey to get to where I'm at. Once upon a time, I did not want to be a rock star. Once upon a time, I wanted to be a rapper. Yeah! but my inspirations to rap were much, much cleaner because I wanted to be like Lil Bow Wow, Lil Romeo, and Aaron Carter. R.I.P. the GOAT. Aaron Carter, I wanted to be on that level, but my whole life changed when my friends introduced me to 50 Cent back in like 2003. I like this hard stuff. Yeah, I want to do. I like this hard stuff. Oh my God! So fast forward. It's seventh grade. We're in Tennessee because we're back waiting for Katrina, and I'm going to spend my allowance money on what's going to make me who I am. I'm like, okay, when we go back to New Orleans and I go back to my middle school, I'm going to be cool, because before Katrina, the plan was, hey yo, sixth grade's over, seventh grade's here, I'm about to be the man. Like this is gonna be my Max Keeble's big move type shit. I'm be the man now. And so since Katrina, you know, like put that on pause, I'm like, okay, well, when I come back, I'm being a man. And my big plan, Scardy, was I'm going to buy 50 Cent the Massacre. And I'm going to know it so well that the popular kids are going to love me.
They'll have no option but to be like, oh, you're in.
That's all we wanted from you. Because before seventh grade, every time I realized that I have a chance to be cool, I just don't have the tools to do it, was every time I was just able to simply...
Which is another really good... That's another really good song title.
Oh, wait, I didn't know what I said. I just talk.
You said, you speak in Pete Wentz quotes, you said, I know I can be cool, I just don't have the tools to
Ooh.
Do it. And there's a parenthesis in there somewhere.
Damn,
Ooh.
Hold up. I be spitting sometimes, and I don't even know it. Who said that?
That's so fucking funny.
So I was like, because I rapped before, like back in elementary school, I premiered like my first rap, and it started a like classroom tour where kids were like, yo, you gotta hear Brandon rap. You gotta hear Brandon rap. So I'm like, okay, this is my end. I just need it. So I'm gonna have this CD, I'm gonna know it front to back, and they're gonna be like, hey yo, Brandon's cool. I'm gonna go to all the parties, I'm gonna be the man. And I had a tactic. So Brandon, who is seventh grade, 13 years old, how are you, who's getting driven by your father to Barnes & Noble, how are you going to leave with This Is a Massacre? And oh ho ho, dear listener, my plan was, I'm gonna get the clean version, obviously! And
duh!
So boom, I got my allowance, my $15. We drive to Barnes & Noble. I don't even gotta look for it, because I already scouted it the week before. I know exactly which aisle it's on, which rack. I don't need to, we're in and out, baby. And so, blah, blam, I see it. And I lift it up. I'm like, Dad, I'm gonna get this. And my dad's like, so quick, brand put it back. Wait, Dad.
I have a pitch.
Hold up.
I have to be cool.
Hold up, Dad. Wait. I know you're thinking. But look, and I say it word for word. I say, look, clean version. No parental advisory needed. He looked at the...
And he was like, you got me there, son.
He looked at the CD. Looked at me. Looked at the CD. Looked at me. And said, son, there is no such thing as a clean 50 cent. Put that back. My whole world crumbles.
But how am I supposed to be the next little Bow Wow?
I'm destroyed. And at this time, I'm a crier. But I was so sad, I didn't even cry.
Oh, the underreacting is what's really bad.
I just dragged my feet, put it back, and said, well, what am I going to buy now? I have $15 of allowance money, and it takes us 30 minutes to drive to Barnes & Noble. I got to leave with something. And so I'm like...
I'm leaving here with some.
I'm standing in the racks, and I'm like, okay, Brandon, clean stuff. What plays on Radio Disney? Because that was my main radio station back at that time.
That
was my station.
Hell yeah.
All the sheltered kids stand up. All the sheltered kids stand up.
Go, bow, 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 bow. Just going to enter all the air horns here.
So I was like, okay, what can I get? And I'm looking at the CDs, and I'm like, oh, here's the name I noticed. I see Simple Plan. And I'm like, oh, I know these guys. They have the song I'm Just a Kid on the movie Cheer About a Dozen. I love that song.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
And I'm like, oh yeah, and perfect. I love that song that plays on Radio Disney. Okay, yeah. Oh yeah, and Scooby-Doo. Oh yeah, this is me. And it's no pads, no helmets, just balls. The Simple Plan debut CD. And I'm like,
that's fucking funny. Like, Dad was like, yes, son. That's cool. You're a man
we
now.
We're going home. And Scardy, I opened that CD case. I put that CD in my CD player. I put on my headphones. And then, my life is going to go in either two ways. Based upon that butterfly effect. Before its own plan, it was jerseys and oversized tees, do-rags and bandanas. That was gonna be my life.
Can you get us an old picture of you? We'll put it right here.
I have a perfect one, actually. I have a perfect one to and I'll show you. But yeah, I got you on that. After the show, I got you on that.
That's so fucking funny.
But it was gonna be that route. When I heard the first riff of I'd Do Anything by Simple Plan, that all changed.
Wow. That's how the album starts? Oh, fuck.
Do Anything is the first song off of No Pads, No Helmets, Just Balls. That changed everything.
Wow.
After that, well, if I could dress. After that, it was studded belts, skinny jeans, graphic tees, spiky hair. That was my life. That was it. My second CD was the second Simple Plan CD. Still not getting any. My third CD was Bowling for Soup, A Hangover You Don't Deserve. Like,
damn. So fucking good. That's like the trifecta. That makes all the sense.
And so many other bands came from watching AMVs on YouTube. For those who don't know what AMV is, AMV stands for Anime Music Video. That is where someone takes like anime scenes like Naruto and Sasuke fighting or Trunks going Super Saiyan and putting it with like Linkin Park and Sum 41 and Good Charlotte.
Perfect.
And other bands. I discovered so many bands because of watching AMV, because I'm a big weeb. Whoa, wait a minute. The guy who's a band called Kawaii as Fuck is a weeb? No fucking way. What?
No way. Shut it down. Shut the production down.
But hip-hop never left me. I never abandoned hip-hop. The love still goes on. Like when I heard Petey Pablo on the free at Timbaland and Fall Out Boy.
Yo. Yeah. If you haven't heard the Hannon Lane interview that I just did, Hannon Lane co-wrote and co-produced One and Only with Timbaland, and just told me like, yeah, they came in, we recorded in 2 hours, first and foremost. And then I was like, yo, like that Sling Blade, John, at the end, it goes crazy. Why did Timbaland do that? And I always thought it was weird that Timbaland was saying, Timbaland, you tuning son of a bitch. Cause that's like a line in the movie without the Timbaland part, obviously replace it with like the character. And he's like, oh, that's not Timbaland. And like my world shattered. And he goes, and I go, what? And he goes, that's Petey Pablo. I was like, ain't no fucking way that in the year of our Lord 2023, that it is now canon that Fall Out Boy and Petey Pablo are on a Timbaland song together. That was supposed to be a single. He's putting up the rock right now, and it's like, I understand. I am here with you. It's like light beams in the sky. We are meeting in the middle of the United States with our sky beams, like throwing up the rock right now. Because what the fuck? What the actual fuck? Well, that if you heard everything, you also know that Joel Santana was supposed to be the official Dance Dance remix too, which is
so
nuts,
crazy.
Nuts.
That's
it
so,
really hurts
no,
me.
No, like it was already okay. So, listener, dear listener, I had just learned that this song existed before I found the podcast. A fan showed me this. And I was like, hey, yo, this is crazy. And so it's been on repeat. And so, boom, I listened to a podcast episode. The first episode I watched, I listened to. And I'm just having my mind just completely eradicated. I'm like, it was going to be a single. We could have lived in a world. Where on a Timbaland album or Timbaland song is Fall Out Boy and Petey Pablo? Are you kidding? That's my trifecta.
Yeah. Doesn't that feel good? No, that's literally my dream blunt rotation. My dream blunt rotation. Yeah, literally, that is my dream blunt rotation. It's Timbaland, all the members of Fall Out Boy, and Petey Pablo.
Because I want everyone to know this. And I'm glad I have a platform to say this. Y'all, put some respect on Petey Pablo. He is so much more. He is so much more than Freak
Elite. Please.
He is so much more than Raise Up. Please, listen to me. Go listen to Diary of a Sinner and Still Writing in My Diary. Those albums are so...
I'm gonna drop those links right in the show notes so people can go. I think Petey Pablo is one of the best rappers, Southern rappers, period. Petey Pablo is so fucking special. Freakalique will like literally play at my funeral. Like everything he does just and touches is gold. I think about him the same way I think about E-40. Like they have like just such their own fucking lane and cadences, and like you can hear where they're from. And yeah, so when hearing that it was Petey Pablo literally ruined my life, but also made me complete. And I just can't wait for the day that like I do have Fall Out Boy on the show and I'm like, so Petey Pablo, and they're gonna be like, what? I'm gonna be like, exactly. Stay with me.
But yeah, no, oh my God. My heart is so warm. I never get to hear this. I never get to hear Petey Pablo was one of the best rappers. I'm like, no one said this but me. No one said this but me.
No. It ruined my life. It was amazing. And like, it just goes to show you like the power of Fall Out Boy. I mean, obviously, as Infinity on High Heads, we get to hear Jay-Z open up the fucking album. And then the second track is... The title is a Jay-Z lyric. And I'm like, Pete Wentz, yeah. You sly motherfucker. I was like, yo, the depression may be depressioning, but that brain is functioning at 110% for that. Like, you...
Oh, my God.
Like, you're doing great.
But my journey was a rough one, y'all, because being black and being into rock music, forget pop punk, forget emo, being into rock music in the 2000s and being black? No. I've heard it all. Oh, man. Man, it was branded into my brain. You are white. I'm like, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. Yeah. It's like, yep. Like, oh my God. Yep. Yeah, no. And that's from all sides. Not just the white kids saying that I'm white. The black kids are saying that I'm white. So I'm like, oh.
The black kids will be louder about it. Absolutely.
They wouldn't let me go. Oh my God. And I just kind of accepted that I was like weird. I'm like, okay, yeah. I guess I'm weird because I like rock music. Okay, sure. But then in college. That's when everything changed.
We found it. I mean, that and like even the resurgence of like every few years, people remember that Pete's half black and like the whitewashing that happened during a lot of like that emergence and stuff. But I think that is so many people's stories, right? Just the having to suppress and be a little weird on this side until you can like finally feel that confidence to speak out loud. And I think Fall Out Boy gave that to like a lot of mixed kids, you know, not just me, but like friends and community members and all that good stuff. If you were to tell a mixed, you know, creator, artist looking to get more into the scene, like how can they hold space for themselves? How can they make something, you know, wild and fresh?
Do your homework because it's in our blood, kid. Like it's in our blood. All you gotta do is just like look at our forefathers, look at Prince. Look at Michael Jackson. Look at Jimi Hendrix. Mm-hmm. Look at Chuck Berry. And that's just the tip, y'all. Like, listen to all the mixed kids. Don't feel weird. Like I mean, it's awesome to be weird, but that's not what makes you weird. It's not because you like rock music, and it's not white culture. It's not something that you're kind of no. This is us. It's us, and they took it from us.
Doesn't make sense. Took
it from our forefathers and foremothers, and then it made an entire generation, and a generation after that, generations believe that it's a white thing, because the generation before that did it as protection. They didn't, like, just accept the fact that like, oh, our art's being taken. Yeah. They had to, or they would die. Literally, they would get killed. So, to save their children, if their children were doing anything that was, like, beyond what was expected, they had to, like, stomp that out. Because like, no, they're going to kill you.
Because music as well, especially for rock, is a defiance. It's always been seen as a defiance of society. And it's only recently, and I mean recently in, like, the last 50, 60 years that rock has become a pop, you know, like a pop genre that like communicates with the youth and like what people are feeling. But I definitely just wanted to give you some space there just because like, I guess the next thing is what's the goal with Kawaii as Fuck? Like, where do y'all see yourselves? And like, what do you want to tell your community basically?
Well, Kawaii as Fuck is looking at world domination. That's first and foremost. You're not gonna hear the story of, oh, you know, we just kinda, you know, wanna do our thing, and if you like it, that's cool. No! That's something that 2010s like pop and rock built. And I hate that shit. I hate the idea that you don't that it's not okay to wanna say you wanna be a globe-trotting rock star. What? I'm sorry, my brain don't work like that. I grew up with rock stars, and I grew up wanting to be a rock star, and goddamn it, I'm going to keep doing that and telling the kids after me, be rock stars. Like, if you want to be low-key, that's cool too. Yeah. But if you want to be a goddamn globe-trotting superstar, you damn well can. I know I damn well can. Like, everything in my life has told me, Brendan, this is what you were built to do. Like, when I dance, when I do acting, when I do anything that I do, if I just do like karaoke at a bar, people like lose their minds and say, oh my God, yeah, that was incredible. Like everything that I do. Okay, so I'm not gonna ignore all of that telling me that when I'm supposed to, you know, like, or forced to believe, oh, you should, you know, be a little more low key. Why? Everyone who I've ever been inspired by did not do anything low key. Like, and so, yo, yeah, quiet as fuck. We're next, and we're taking people with us. Like, rock is on its way to becoming, like, the thing again. And it's coming from black and people of color. It's coming from where it came from again. Like, shout out to Lil Uzi Vert, Lil Tracy, Poor Stacy, Meet Me at the Altar. Shout out to big shout out to this young artist and fan of Quiet AF. Jules is dead. She is signed to Tag Records, and that is Gabe Saporta's label.
Of course. Like, oh my God, like, congrats. And then we see Meet Me at the Altar on Fueled by Ramen. I mean, like, yeah, I think it's so amazing. And it has been such a pleasure to have you. I know that this won't be the last time that we collaborate. This has been so amazing to get to know you more and to let people hear more about your story and where you're going with everything personally, but also as the band with Kawhi AF.
All right, y'all,
where can people find you?
On Instagram and TikTok at all lowercase, Kawhi AF underscore official. And you can find me personally as Kid Cuisine, that's K-I-D-D Cuisine on Instagram. That's my personal. That's when I, you know, just if you want to like really get to know me, that's where I'd be like posting all my stories, like all of these like clips from like old like teen movies and like random like music videos that I'd be watching. Like it's where you really get the full Brandon Cunningham experience. But over at Quiet Official, that's his all quiet as fuck business, and that's the best way to stay connected with us, because we're always commenting and we're always posting on Instagram and TikTok, but especially Instagram. That's like the best way to know all the news that goes on with us. And I think that is it in terms of the social media.
I love it. I'm going to make sure that all those links end up in the show notes. And I ask all my guests this. Can you give me a mouth air horn?
Oh, Scotty, I've been doing the mouth air horn at work with my coworkers for 10 years. It'd be my absolute pleasure.
Fuck yes. Thank you so, so much. And have a great night.
You do the same, Scotty. I love you.
Bye. Bye.
Coming families that take me repair my throat. If I never speak again, let this be my last resort. May have left home with the medal, but I was the better sport. Police declared me from my judgment, not a cake me till I'm stumbling over.
Only words that slip the tongue, yours. Daddy, love the bastard is for.
you with lonely songs of yesteryear. From my longing begs of past misfortune and fame's what led us here. You tossed and turned inside my chest, the end would not appear. But now I see my regrets for what they are, crystal clear.